Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. The headline this week, Chelsea go one win away from the Champions League. Today, I'm joined by my good friend, Brady. No Chris again this week. We were both at the game Friday night. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, it was... The atmosphere was really good in the second half. It was really enjoyable. I was sitting in the Matthew Harding end, and the goal was at my end. He almost headed it towards my direction, Kukurea, who's a bit of a... He's becoming a bit of a Marcus Alonso regen, but he can actually defend and hustle. He's got a bit of everything, this guy. And yeah, it was not looking great. I mean, Maguire at our end was quite good when the goal got chalked off, because his celebration, the slide into the camera, was pretty hilarious. But it wasn't too great. Mason Mount nearly scored it, but you know, a fantastic assist from our captain and a really good finish from one of the talismen of the team. Fullback to fullback, got it done, and we just got over the line.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic to see Reece James with a special moment at Stamford Bridge, something that I think not many players for us could do, and he did it, and that sort of just shows his qualities. It was really nice to see his celebrations as well. You know, it clearly means a lot to him, and I thought he played a real captain's role on Friday night. Let's just quickly go through the stats from the game. Chelsea, 47% possession against Manchester United. I thought Manchester United did really well in the game to sort of compete and hold their own in terms of control. But 0.82 XG versus 0.29. 11 shots for Chelsea, only 4 for Manchester United. 3 shots on target for Chelsea, only 1 shot on target for United. So they didn't really turn their possession into really many good opportunities at all. In fact, Chelsea really controlled their attacking intent in the game. You've gone first the last couple of weeks, so I'll go first with my dislikes in this game. And my dislike is the way we started the game, in terms of energy, in terms of intensity, in terms of urgency. I think the Liverpool home game was amazing in terms of we approached the game like we knew it was a huge game. We knew we had to win. The players seemed well up for it. You know, the intensity was really there. This game started in completely the opposite way. I thought it would start exactly the same. Maybe we'd get an early goal. And instead, the urgency off the ball in this game was horrendous. And it was partly, I think, we encountered a few tactical issues in the game early in terms of the way United set up. I know Maresca mentioned they went man for man, which they'd never really done before. I wasn't expecting them to do that in the game. So that out of possession was tough for us, and you know, in terms of being in possession as well, you know, not creating much. The first half was really, really poor overall. So yeah, just disappointed with the sort of level of urgency and intensity that we saw at the start of the game, and doesn't make me, you know, feel good, because I sort of felt that against Newcastle as well. Doesn't make me feel good about that aspect going to Forest on Sunday.
Oh, well, they say great minds think alike. I'm not sure that would be applied to us too. I suppose it would do. But yeah, I've got exactly the same. My note is the intensity at the start of these massive games just isn't there. You know, Man United, they weren't dominating, but they were very comfortable on the ball. And I know you said they were good on the ball and they actually edged possession in this game. It made it way too easy for them. And yeah, it's worrying for the City ground on Sunday, because, you know, if you've got a goal behind in the first 20 minutes, it's going to be, you know, we've got to score 2, obviously, to try and win. It's going to be difficult. And yeah, the tone at the moment does seem to be that we don't play particularly well first half, like Ipswich at home, Fulham away, even Brentford. Brentford away was a little bit like that, not playing well in the first half and then just getting yourself out of jail in the second half or just getting a result. You know, that's not going to be great in the game on Sunday, like you said. So yeah, it's kind of like we're on a treadmill, and we just kind of, if you ever go on a treadmill, you just set the uphill gradient and you just kind of eventually it levels out. But we're making it more difficult for ourselves than we need to, I think.
Yeah, I know, you know, over a beer at halftime, I think a lot of people in the ground were thinking, you know, this is not looking good second half at all. But fair play. Chelsea managed
to... I have to tell you, I don't think second half was much better, to be honest. I think there were some better moments.
Well, I think you could see the structure of the team had improved. I think they felt that issue, you know, on the left-hand side for Manchester United, Dorgu was getting so much space in the first half. They corrected a few things with the way that the team was set up there, so they didn't have that out ball. And they had a lot more control. Obviously, when we scored the goal, 71st minute, I think if we hadn't have scored there, United would have come under a lot of pressure in that last 25 minutes of the game. It just felt like we were edging towards scoring.
It was a tough game. I mean, obviously, we have created less than XG in this game, which seems to be a bit of a trend in the Premier League where the XG has gone down anyway. But we only created 0.3 XG second half. There were a couple of big chances, although both chances were, well, Nonny's chance, they've only given it on 0.09, I think. I think it was more than 9% chance for Madueke, but in the second half. But it was okay. We just ground it out, didn't we? Let's be honest. We ground it out. The crowds helped the team get over the line. They were really connecting with the Stamford Bridge crowd. James, Cole, Will, you know, a lot of the players. And it was just one of them. We just got over the line. And you're hoping that kind of works on Sunday as well, where you just kind of, you know, you just stumble over the line and just about get there.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention the crowd and the connection, because that is my like, is the celebrations after the goal. I love it when you can see the you go back on the TV and you see that every single player to a man goes over to the goal scorer when you score a goal. I always think that's a great sign of a really well connected team. And you watch the goal going from Cucurella and every single player just starts sprinting towards him. You know, it's like a magnet attracting all the Chelsea players. It's fantastic to see. And obviously, not just that, but the celebrations in the corner, Reece James, Neto, Cucurella himself, Enzo as well was really leading the, you know, that was right in front of you. I guess you would have seen it up close and personal. But the passion and what it means to the players, I think, is really being demonstrated. And as fans, that's really what you want to see. Like, you love to see that it means something to the players. That goal was important, and you could really, really sense that in the stadium.
Yeah, well, completely agree. And, you know, there were some fans around me that, like, you know, I'm not always the biggest fan of when somebody clears something out for a corner. I mean, Disasi does this. I think in the City away game, he cleared away a corner and it was like 40 minutes gone. So it's a little bit early for celebration there. But when they were kind of the classic time-wasting, and Reece James, I think, hit it against one of their players and got a throw-in with, like, 2 minutes to go of added time, you kind of know you're getting over the line. There has been some better game management at the end of games. Spurs at home, and this game was good. Man United didn't... I mean, they took Fernandes off, they took Mount off, they kind of took their main threats off.
Were you surprised that those guys played so long? I know I was. I couldn't believe that Fernandes was still
there. I mean, what would you call a five-way sub or a quadruple sub at least on the hour? And yeah, I think he just wanted to get rhythm in their legs and maybe get a bit of intensity in their legs. Yeah, I was surprised, to be fair, and I was surprised how strong their lineup was, which maybe surprised Maresca a bit. He said he was surprised afterwards, like you said, that they went man-to-man. I think he was probably surprised they weren't as strong as they did. And maybe that... Maybe the players are walking in thinking, oh, United are kind of washed. They're on the beach in the league. You know, West Ham have turned them over 2-0 at Old Trafford. And they're thinking, wow, we're in a game. That might have been a little bit as well. So, but yeah, it was, like I said, we dug it out in the end.
Yeah. What have you got for likes?
My like is a bit more of a macro one. We've actually, and now some of these wins are pretty, you know, there's caveated. You know, versus poor teams, but we have beaten Spurs, Liverpool, United, and Villa this year, which is nice. You know, I'm still looking for the Man City and especially the Arsenal victory. We haven't been Arsenal in so long, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Arsenal win. Just thinking about it,
if it's ever an important game, we'll win it.
Yeah, maybe, but just remember games like Wenger's 1,000th game where we beat him 6-0 and Salah got the sixth goal and things like that. Wonderful days like that. Just, you know, the Hazard goal where he put Coquelin on his bum. Was that the guy?
The last time we won actually is a very memorable game because it was one of, I think, Lukaku's first goals returning to Chelsea, and Reece James scored that day as well the Emirates.
I remember they kind of had a half team out then, and but like, it would be really good to beat this kind of Arsenal in the state they're in now. Just to beat it. Really,
it's actually hilarious seeing that team from, it's only 3 years ago, Arsenal, where their back line is Leno in goal, Cedric at right back, Rob Holding and Pedro Mari at centre back, and Kieran Tierney is at left back. Yeah. Then Sammy Lokonga and Xhaka in midfield, Pepe, Smith Rowe, Saka, and Martinelli. I mean, to see Arsenal have changed personnel, I mean, they've massively overhauled that team in three years.
But yeah, it's good to. You know, we beat Liverpool, and let's be honest, they were kind of on the paracetamol. I was in Lucozade after a three-day title, you know, alcohol bender, but for most of it anyway. But, like, what I want to see next year as a development is that we go to away grounds and we win. Like, I want to see us win at Old Trafford. I want to see us try and win at Anfield. I want to try us win at the Etihad. Not every game. Win at the Emirates. Just get a big win. And because, we were speaking before the pod about, we'll talk about later probably about the Forest game. Our away form has been really poor, and we clearly can't rely on turning over the bottom 12 teams. So we just need to go away and just turn teams over. And, you know, we've done that before. We've got a really good record at Old Trafford before. We've got some big wins at Anfield, big wins at the Emirates. So time next year to step up a little bit in those big games.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Right, let's talk about the players. Let's do our temps.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
All right, we're switched up again, so it's going to be me first going in temps. And I feel bad. I feel really, really bad. Sticking this guy in the freezer. It's not, you know, it's not a proper fridge. It's more of a fridge, maybe, because he's obviously a young player and he's playing out of position. He's not a striker, but Tyreek George.
You're not ready, are you?
Tyreek George, I'm sorry, mate.
Oh, that's shocking.
The Shed End, we love singing your song, but he had a really, really poor day. I thought, you know, as I was watching the game and you know, being in possession, decent amount in and around the United box, I was just thinking, wow, what this team's going to look like when we actually have a striker up top next year. Someone with some good movement, some hold-up play that's deadly in and around the box. You know, I just can't wait for that, because I do think everything else is sort of falling a bit more into place, and that is that one position that is really poor. And look, Tyreek George was not in the game really at all. You know, had a really, really poor 81 minutes on the pitch. I don't think he's going to start. On Sunday against Forest, you know, only one touch in the opposition box, only 14 touches in total in the game. No ground duels won, no aerial duels won, no tackles won. You know, he really was a bit of a non-factor, Tyreek, and it's a shame. But yeah, we'll not be too harsh on him. But he certainly, I think, was the poorest player on the pitch.
Well, I want to defend him a little bit. We kept going long in this game. I don't know why. We constantly went long. And
I think that was to do with being out of solutions and not prepared for their.
I mean, you criticise a player, but you've got Harry Maguire, who, you know, we tease, but he's like obviously pretty elite in the air. I mean, he's obviously very, very good in the air, can dominate players. He was like throwing Tyreek George around. There was even a scenario where the ball were gone and he just held George just to wind him up. He was just holding him just to wind him up. And yeah, like George was mistiming his jumps. He looked a bit embarrassed in the way he was. But if Rob Sanchez,
it was just his movement as well. Not just obviously. I don't know.
I think when we went to feet, he was actually pretty good with back to goal times. And you know, he did dive for the penalty, but that was a good little run. Look, he wasn't great, but I think it's harsh to. I mean, I know there's probably not many other players to put in the freezer for this game because everyone was mediocre or above. But yeah, it's more of a macro problem for the club. It's not his problem. He's a left winger. He's barely played left wing. He constantly plays right wing or striker. I'd like to see Tyreek George next year be our second left winger. For me, you let Sancho go, and you have Tyreek George as a backup to the left winger. And then we'll see what's happening with Woodruff. That's what I would do. I think he's got a lot of ability. I don't think you need to loan him out. He's already got experience in Europe and in big games. I think he can be the backup left winger. Especially when you can put Nonny on the left wing if needs be. Neto isn't great. You can probably put Estevao Willian left wing. I think he'd be a really good squad option. I don't want him going out on loan, so that's the way I see it. I think he's got
really. I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think we're going to be a bit overloaded on wings, where he's going to struggle for minutes. Like, remember as well, next season we don't have the Conference League. You know, we're not going to.
There's a lot of rumours though that Willian is going to be playing central. So Willian will be the backup to Palmer. He'll be in the 10. He wants to play.
He'll still play the wing positions as well. I would like to see Tyreek George get a championship loan. I think that would be the best thing for him as a player. You know, he's 19. He's played a bit of pro football now, or adult football at the, you know, decent level. And, you know, I'd like to see him get, you know, a championship loan. Let's see what he can do. Even Strasbourg, I think, would be a nice option for George.
The thing is, like, they go there and then, let's be honest, they might never come back. It just seems that they boost their value.
One too, mate. As you can see, Andre Santos will be playing for Chelsea.
He's not British. And we know what it means at the moment in terms of being British, in terms of, you know, pure profit. So I don't want to see him loaned out and then just sold for 30 million in 2 years. I think he's a good player. So, and well, funnily enough, can I go on to my freezer now? Can we lead on to it? Or do you want to talk about
that? Yeah, lead on to it. Let's go.
Like, my freezer actually links in really well with this. My freezer is the Chelsea wingers. I've had enough. The Chelsea wingers this year have been extremely disappointing. Maresca said recently that he wants 10 goals, 10 assists from his wingers. I'm just going to read out all the goals and assists for our wingers. Nwani Madueke, 7 goals, 4 assists in 2,000 minutes. Not good enough. And he's the best of the lot. And remember, he got a hat-trick against Wolves as well, which was like a long time ago. Pedro Neto, 4 goals, 5 assists in 2,200 minutes. Jadon Sancho, a bit less minutes, to be fair to him, only 1,700. 3 goals, 5 assists, not really good enough. Obviously, Mudryk's got, well, obviously, he didn't play barely any minutes in the league this year. You know, still waiting for a B sample that, well, like I said, I watch boxing a lot. B samples usually take 2 days. So I don't think
we're waiting for the B sample. I don't know what we're waiting for, but I think
they clearly know the results and they're trying to. There's some illegal stuff going on. I mean, I don't like to speculate. You know, we don't want to get sued on the pod or anything, but it's like there's clearly maybe some results being withheld, or I don't know what's going on. Who knows? Some smoke and mirrors kind of thing. But they're not good enough. In this game, Madueke missed 2 really big chances, and he has been adaptable lately in the left wing. He's done fine. Pedro Neto in this game was hitting the ball like a magnet to the smallest goalkeeper in the league. He gets through and then does a P-roll of a shot. 1 week they're decent, 1 week they're not. They're just not consistent enough. And Sancho, we should pay the 5 million because he's done all right, but he's not really up to the level. He's okay. He didn't have a shot on target for 4 months. It's not good enough. And it's not good enough because, and I said this in the tube afterwards, I was ranting to you dead about it, but, you know, we get so much of the ball at wing where they get a lot of space to attack, and they do get doubled up on a lot and things like that, but it's not good enough. And I think we need 2-3 new wingers. I know you think that Neto is maybe part of a title winning team. I actually asked around, like I asked Jack and Jamie from the pod, I asked a few other fans what they think of our wingers this week. And basically all of them said, and I agree, they're basically subs. They're basically players that you want coming on, not starting. And I agree with that. I don't think they're up to it. And I think we need massive investment in that area. Probably won't get it because we need a striker. But
I think we're almost guaranteed to get 2 wingers, aren't we? Like Estevao's signing. And I think we're almost certainly, from what we're hearing, we are going to sign another winger. So
yeah, I hope so. Well, but, you know, it's difficult to... Well, it's not difficult to be overly critical because I just don't think they're good enough. And I think, you know, whatever's wrong with the other one's right with the other one, if that makes sense. Like, Madueke is a bit more aggressive, but when he gets in there, he's no good. In terms of his end product, he's just not good enough. We showed that again on the second half. You know, we didn't get punished, but he's got to score.
The second half, he had a great chance in the first half as well.
He's got to score. He's got to score in the second half because, you know, against a better team, on Sunday, when we're 1-0 up, yeah, we didn't get punished against Man United, but he might get punished. And Sancho's been like a fine loan. He's done all right. He's been a bit better recently. He holds the ball well. But his end product isn't there. And I keep saying this because, you know, we're just so reliant on Palmer and Jackson. It doesn't work like that. You know, in the quality teams, I mean, we spoke about, you know, and you know, you said that, you know, Diaz and Gakpo and players like that are no good. They've got like 23 goals between them. I think they've got about 35 GA slash between them, and they're supposed to be the bottom two in the Liverpool attack. And obviously, you've got Mo Salah there. And we're not hoping to have Mo Salah, but you need players getting 10, 12 goals a season. 4 goals. Cucurella's got more goals than Neto. It's not acceptable. And We keep painting over it. You know, they work hard. They put shift in for the team. Their numbers are not good enough. They're top eight numbers, top 10, not top four. So we need better wingers. Or they've either got a fix-up or we need better wingers. Simple.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've just discussed this before in terms of I think when you get a better player up top, and we've played a lot of the season without Jackson, and even when he plays, he's certainly nothing special. You know, the numbers, I think, will increase. You get another player to bounce a ball off and hold the ball off.
This might increase.
I think you can get... Yeah, like. No, I think the goals will increase as well, because you demand more attention. He's another player that can hold the ball up. He's another player that could be creative as well. Nicholas Jackson is the opposite of creative. You know, he couldn't spot a through pass if it was right in front of him, and let alone execute it. So, you know, the...
I think we'll sit here in a year.
I'm not saying these players... I think very harsh to call them subs. I think,
I think for a top team, I don't think they're getting any top team, do they?
I wouldn't put Nonny in the top team, no. I think Nonny...
I wouldn't put Neto in a top team either. I don't think Neto gets in the Liverpool team.
I mean, obviously, Mo Salah plays that position.
Mo Salah. I don't think that they're going to be
in. I think Pedro Neto gets in Newcastle's team. Yeah, I think he's a better player than Martinelli and gets in Arsenal's team. So I don't know that I would say that.
Even Martinelli, like, Arsenal fans don't even like him that much. His numbers are much better than our players. Well, not much better. He's got 8 goals, 4 assists. Okay, not much, but they're a bit better.
Is that better? That's what sounds the same. But yeah,
they want him gone. They don't think he's good enough.
He's playing in a better team, you know, as well at the moment. Arsenal are a better team than us at the moment. So I just think I totally can get on board with saying that we need to add wingers this summer, and I think they absolutely will. I think, you know, that's almost been confirmed that we've got one coming in, and we'll certainly, I think, make a big effort to sign a left winger as well. So I think, yeah, I think the sporting directors are on your page. Same wavelength, mate, with the sporting directors.
I might see you in a year, and then maybe they'll prove me wrong, but to be honest, I don't think so. I'm pretty good judge of players, and I think, I don't know. Let's see where we are in a year, see if they improve.
Okay, warming up, I'm going to go with this guy, and I think he deserves a big mention, actually, because I think he's been on a really good run. Do you know who I'm going to say?
No, there's so many candidates.
Levi Colwill.
Yeah, that was my warming up.
Same wavelength today, but I think he's been a standout player for us in a few of our games. I thought he had a really good game against Liverpool. Thought he was really solid against United. Obviously, look, Højlund's been really poor this season. He had another shocking game. I thought he was absolutely dreadful, Rasmus Højlund. But part of that is because Colwill played really well. Even going back to Everton at home, thought he had a really, really good game against a really tough opponent in Beto, who also had an absolute shocker. I thought that, you know, I think the player that Colwill is, you know, we forget sometimes. He's almost like he's been around because he's been playing Prem for 3 years, but he's only 22. 22 years old for a centre-back is so young. You know, most players, I think William Saliba was out on loan at a French team, you know, from Arsenal when he was 22. So, you know, these players don't even play at the top level at centre-back at that age, so... I think he's growing into this role. I think he's got a great personality. Just been really impressed with him as we've come to the crunch end of this season.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably one of the top. I don't think he is the top, but I think he's one of the top minutes, probably had the most minutes in the league, kind of been a constant throughout. In the defence, he's been the constant of an ever-changing injuries and rotation. I just think I like the way he's really aggressive. The ball was kind of going up into the United attackers, you know, Højlund, and he was just right on them. And just kind of a little bit like Fofana does, just replacing that Fofana energy a little bit, right on them. And it's definitely been upping recently. He's good on the ball as well. He's pretty tidy. Probably not as good on the ball as I thought he might have been, actually. I thought he might have been a lot better. His main attribute was on the ball. It's pretty good. But his main attributes, I think, is tenacity, reading of the game. Like, he's growing into the role, and I think he's in the crunch end of the season. He's been one of the players that stepped up a little bit, and that's good to see. Like, you don't really want it the other way, where, you know, they're really good in September, but when it comes to May, they're just, you know, they're not around. Their form dips. So I think for, like, you know, for the Conference League final, and if we get into the Champions League next year, things like that, I think he could be really one of the performers. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty much Cole, Will, and, isn't it, in terms of the centre backs, isn't it? I mean, I don't think they're looking at a left centre back. I don't think so. No. I think they're probably looking at a right centre back. And like Ben Jacobs, I listened to his podcast on London's Blue podcast. That was great. You know, he went through some centre back options. I don't think any of them, like I said, were left centre back. It might be Gahey, it might be some others. But yeah, I mean, it's likely just going to be Fofana and Colwell again from when Fofana's fit. So yeah, and he formed a good partnership with Trevor Chalobah recently, but he was rotated out for tossing this game, and he still performed well. So yeah, I think I deserve warming up for Levi.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's go to boiling hot then. And we do have some options for this. I'm going to take
a couple because we only have one. We shared.
I'm going to take the higher hanging fruit, and I'm going to go Reece James.
That's actually what I heard, but yeah, fine.
Okay, I'll let you do resend. I'll do.
I've actually got a few, so that's fine.
Okay, right. Let's talk about Reece, because, you know, first I want to talk about how he's been managed this season. I know there's been some criticism from some factions of the fan base, not naming any names, Brady, of how he's been managed this season in terms of minutes. But this is the longest Reece James has been fit since 2021. So for three and a half seasons, basically, this is the longest stretch that he's been fit for. So firstly, I think the club, Maresca, and, you know, the medical staff do deserve some praise for that, in terms of keeping, you know, an important player fit, managing his minutes. Obviously, you know, he can't play every game at the moment, but that's not saying that he won't be able to play every game in the future. But I think he's been managed really well, and you know, that's contributed to performances where he's been really good recently. The Djurgården match at home, I thought he was outstanding in midfield. And then obviously this United game, he was really, really good as well, playing from right back. It's nice that he, in this right centre-back role, when Kukurea inverts, gets forward, he ends up a lot when we're in possession on that sort of half space outside the edge of the box, and he's deadly from that sort of situation. So I think that sort of suits him as well. I think this role really can suit Reece James, this sort of right centre back role of a three in possession but still getting forward at home. Just obviously really impressed with Reece. And then also just talk about his captaincy as well and his leadership. I know we sort of alluded to it earlier and sort of mentioned a little bit about it, but I thought, when you're in the ground, obviously you can't see on TV as much, but he was very, very vocal with all the players. And you know, even the stoppages in play, he was over chatting to the manager or chatting to other players. You know, I think he's really stepped that up in the last few months. He's sort of feeling a bit more at home as Chelsea's club captain, and I think it's really starting to suit him.
There's a few things I want to say about Reece James. I think that, yeah, he stayed fit, and I think that actually the best moment from Friday night was when he actually went down for like four or five minutes.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was crocked. I mean, I don't know what happened to him. He was holding his knee, I think, well, he's gone again. And it looked bad. And he's got up, and that was like, wow. And then he got up, obviously, and put the performance in that he did. What you didn't really speak about is just quality. He's just got more quality than pretty much any of our players, other than Palmer. On the ball, he does elite things, and that assist, other than Palmer, nobody else in our team can do. It's just that simple. Not even Fernandez. Fernandez couldn't spot that pass like that. Like, he couldn't swivel like that and do that. I think Palmer could do something similar. And obviously that shot in the first half, I mean, bar Palmer, none of our attackers could dream of striking the ball like that from distance. He's just got elite quality, and yeah, he's been managed well, but I think next year.
I want some praise for this.
I don't think you can have praise, because it's like, you know, he's got. Do you know how many minutes he's got this year?
No.
In the league, less than 1,000. Yeah, and Levi Colwell's got 3,000. Yeah, I want Reece James up there 2,500, 3,000, And look,
I think we all want that, but the pathway to that is not just to stick him starting every game straight away.
But it's a lot of games where I feel recently he could have started and he didn't, and I don't think he's been particularly happy about that. He's not going to be happy not being playing, obviously, but maybe he's not happy because he knows he's not fit enough to play, or maybe he's unhappy because he thinks he's fit enough to play and Rusko hasn't selected him. Who knows? But yeah, I think he's been managed pretty well. But let's be honest, until recently, it's been a little bit of a half-baked with James a little bit. He hasn't been a full pelt. And I don't mean going up and down the wing, because I don't mean that. I just think a little bit of the intensity. I just think he is just a phenomenal right-back, and we just got to start playing him in midfield. And he's playing in the big games at right-back. He's just phenomenal. And he won us this game. I know Cucurella scored the goal, but that assist is just... The game was floating. We weren't really doing much, not creating any XG. The structure was a bit better. And he just won the game for us basically single-handedly with that piece of magic. And that's what we want. That's what the Cobham Academy can bring. That's what the elite players do. And I want elite players in my team all the time. So...
Would you start him on Sunday against Forest?
1 million percent. 1 million percent.
Who are you dropping? We'll have a conversation now.
He must have dropped Lavia for a reason, right? So, because Lavia's fit, you've got to play Reece James this game.
And you wouldn't start Lavia?
I'll probably just play the same team. You put him in the same team. You probably drop George and play Sancho and maybe put Neto up top. But yeah, I'd definitely have Reece James this game. Because if we go 1-0 down, we need someone on the pitch that's going to go, right, come on. That's massive. That's even probably more important than tactics and selection this game. I think in this game, we're a better team than Forest. They're going to hit us on the break and they're going to sit deep. Lavia is a little bit more about unlocking passes against higher blocks and things like that. You need in that game, it's a crunch game. You need Reece James starting the next two games. Simple. I can't describe it. We're just much better when we're even the team, in my opinion. And I mean, it means that either Lavia or Enzo don't play, which is not great. But, and you know, Caicedo inverted right back is good. But I think you have to start reaching Sunday. In a game like that, you have to. Because he'd have a 9-day break.
Not about the rest for him, yeah.
Yeah, I think you can't say, you know, managing minutes and all that sort of stuff. He's got to play. Got to play for me. After that performance, to drop him would be a massive statement. I don't think you can drop him.
I personally, just for tactical reasons, I wouldn't play him on Sunday. I think like Caicedo and Lavia suits this game much better. I just think like the way that Forest are going to set up, I think if we play Caicedo and Enzo in midfield, Enzo can get a little bit exposed without someone sitting there behind and covering.
I think that goes both ways. Alanga's been one of their best players, right? And Reece James can just pocket him.
Yeah, obviously, look, there's pluses and minuses and you know, Reece James is obviously a great player, and one, you know, having him play would in most circumstances would be really good. But I just think the way we've set up in away games and played with that setup in general has been really good, and that's really when we were playing well away, is when we had that Lavia midfield. The other thing is we could do is drop Enzo and play Reece James, Lavia and Caicedo. I think that is a big call, but I think it could be done. Enzo could play 10 and we could play No Sancho. We could play Palmer at right wing. He seems really reluctant to move Palmer. I think he likes Palmer in this role, not just because he thinks it suits him, but the build-up and the positions he takes up is quite good in terms of keeping control and possession in games. But yeah, look, there's some options, and I guess we'll move on to that after the when we do a little bit of the preview of the Forest game. But let's wrap up boiling hot. What you got for me?
I thought that every week Caicedo is amazing, so we just give him a special mention. I think the other you have to give it to Cucurella.
Yeah,
it's just, I mean, I've said it before. I think Steven Spielberg's developing the script for the Cucurella redemption story. I mean, I remember when we were managed under Potter. West Ham away, early kickoff, he was getting booed off. You know, me, Chris, and actually Jake, who made the rap for the pod, we were at the, when this was ages ago, but we were at the Wimbledon, a home game in the League Cup under Pochettino. and there was a lot of links. It was still summer, so I think the transfer window was still open, or the loan window. And we were basically saying, get him an Uber to Manchester so we can get loaned out to Manchester United. I mean, look at the turnaround of the player. I mean, he's unlucky not to get player of the year this year. It's only because he's, you know, Caicedo's been so good. And I don't know, he's got more league goals than Sancho, Neto, and obviously Madrid, but he's got more goals than a lot of players in the team. He hustles, he bustles, he can play inverted, he's actually got a lot better recently at just being a pure left back as well. Like, he's actually like a really good like assist threat in terms of getting the ball across. And yeah, I mean, he's scored a lot of similar goals. He's like, when you're the shortest man on the pitch or one of, and you're scoring headers, that shows your determination as a player. And yeah, I don't need to say any more. I think he's been fantastic. And, you know, we paid a lot of money for him, but it's, you know, he's been fantastic. And
what I can't believe with Cucurella is how he's not getting mentioned in Team of the Year talk. I know Kirkes has had a good season for Bournemouth, but they've conceded a lot of goals. And then
not getting two Chelsea players in them.
Robinson as well has been good for Fulham. I think he's a good player. But, you know, I would at least have a chat about Cucurella. Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's not even being talked about.
He's a bit of an unsung hero. He wins tackles, he hustles, he bustles, he gets in players' faces.
The disservice to him talking about is sort of hustling and bustling. Obviously, he does do that. He's really, you know, urgent and on it, Cucurella. But I think he's phenomenal defensively. I think he's been great against every single top right winger that he's come up against. And even in this game, obviously, Diallo, I think he got past him once in this game. I mean, you know, the matches that we've had recently, even the Liverpool home game, Salah, I thought he was really good against Salah in that game. You know, there's been so many games this season where he's had tough tasks, and he's been really on it. I love Cucurella. I think he's great. And I think, you know, our fullback duo of James and Cucurella is absolutely brilliant. I think I've talked about this before. The way they've structured recruitment, you can see the players that have emerged in these positions that can do it, that can be top level. And, you know, it's so obvious where we need to add players. And that's, you know, Colwill, centre-back partner, goalkeeper, striker and winger. You know, or maybe two wingers, depending on who you ask. But, you know, those are the positions that really need adding. And the rest of it, you know, we've got a pretty solid foundation for to be a pretty good team going forward. Right, let's shift our attentions to Nottingham Forest, who are our opponents on Sunday. There's a lot of different scenarios that will go on, which we won't go through all of them. But basically, it's as simple as win and we're in. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. When you're in, and if we draw, we're relying on basically on United getting a result. There are other permutations. City play tomorrow night, but I think City will be all right. I mean, I know they were pretty poor at Southampton in the cup final, but I just think they'll get over.
I mean, I'm expecting City to be flat against Bournemouth on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I just got a feeling they'll just get over the line. You know, it has been an absolute car crash. Season for City. So maybe this is going to be the rotten cherry on top for them, where they actually don't make Champions League.
If they do lose, obviously against Bournemouth on Tuesday, it's completely out of their hands. You know, they there's nothing they can do, and they've got a really tough game, last game of the season, away at Fulham
I'm not sure if eighth is still live. Is eighth still Conference League?
No, because Palace won. Seventh is Conference. Eighth is
eighth is dead now.
Yeah, believe so.
So that hurts us a bit, because Fulham's motivation will go down a little bit, because it's just still a home game against City. They'll still want to finish, you know. Yeah. They can still finish eighth. They can still, I think eighth will probably be, I don't follow Fulham's highest finishes, but I assume eighth would have been the best finish they've had for a while, at least. City have got them away last day, and, you know, Fulham away is a very tough game. They beat Liverpool at home, and we barely beat them. So, yeah, I think, but like I said, you don't want to leave it in other teams' hands. You don't want United doing you a favour, especially in the state they're in and the state they might be in terms of being hungover if they win in Bilbao on Wednesday. It's got to win the game, man. But, like, I mean, I was pretty optimistic coming out the ground on Friday, but every day that goes by and you look at our away record and you look at Forest home record, and they've actually got a better away record than them home record. They've got 33 points away, 32 at home, so they've been pretty much the same, but you know, very good away record. So they've been a bit poorer at home, but they've still got a pretty good return. It's tough, and yeah, I'm surprised we're as short as we are with the bookies odds actually with our away form, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I think it's just, you know, it is basically a cup final for a Champions League place. And I think that probably the expectancy is that Chelsea, the magnitude of the game, you know, will lead us to be sort of maybe more up for it than what we...
I mean, the last two games where they've basically been finals, I mean, I know Jackson got sent off, but we've been poor.
I think they showed good spirit against Newcastle. Obviously, the Jackson red cards, obviously, you know, abysmal.
It's the first half. It's just they've just got players, you know, they've got Gibbs White, they've got Alanga. I'm not sure if Callum will start. Callum, you know, obviously Callum scored against us last year, I think, when we won 3-2 last minute, or you know, when Jackson scored and went into the crowd. You know, they've got players that can hurt us, and you know, I'm not saying we could be 2-0 down in 20 minutes, but it's, you know, they're going to come out of the blocks quick, and because I think that whatever admirations they have about, or sorry, aspirations, sorry, about low block, I think that crowd will just G them up and they'll just go for it a bit, which could help us, actually, like you said.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would love Forest to sort of try and go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we want Forest to kind of, like, in a boxer's kind of analogy, to go pound for off. You know, if Forest go pint for punch with us, you hope we've got enough. But obviously, they'll probably sit deep and hit us on the break. I mean, that's almost definitely what they'll do. But yeah, it's going to be... Chapter 3000 of 3020 of can Chelsea break down the low block, and we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it'll be a very, very nervy game as a spectator for us to watch. Hope the players don't feel quite as nervous.
You know, United could just win 3-1 at home to Villa, just turn up. There might be a bit of a party atmosphere if they win the final. You know,
By the way, people thinking that Villa are just going to go there and roll over United. I don't think so at all. I think that would be a very tough game
Villa
for them.
Do have Villa and Emery in particular, they've got a bit of a ring. What I mean is, you think they're going well and they've just got a little bit of an odd result in them. Sometimes they can just get done over. I remember that the start of last season, they got to be like 5-1 away at Newcastle or something. I just think they've got like a bit of a surprising downturn in form in them, but I don't know. So we have to wait and see. It could be a 0-0 for us. Villa lose and we're in. So we have to wait and see.
Yeah. Let's get a prediction from you.
I don't want to predict this.
Well, where are we heading? Are we heading to the Champions League? Or?
You go first.
I think Chelsea will win 2-0.
Oh, no. Definitely not confident.
I think it might even be 3-0.
I think the game's going to be a draw.
And I'm not confident in the sense that I think we'll like batter them or anything. I just think we'll go 1-0 up, and I think Forest will have to push forward and we'll get the late goals.
I've got a weird feeling we're going to make it top five, but I think this game might be a draw, and Villa just don't do it. I think that's my gut, not gut, but I just think this game is going to be 1-1 or something. I don't know. I'm definitely not 3-0. I don't know. Our away form is dire. And you have to remember, even the Fulham game, I mean, the Fulham game was kind of the exclamation mark on that was two exclamation marks with two really good goals. We were poor in that game. We were awful for 70 minutes. Really bad. I mean, maybe not 70 minutes, but first half, we were dire. I mean, Maresca was getting, he was getting levered by the fans when he walked past him at half time. And that was a bit of the turning point, obviously, the Georgian and the Neto, like, screamers. But away form's been bad, and they've been, you know, I know Forest haven't been great recently. They're kind of, you know, they stumbled over the line versus West Ham yesterday, but I don't know, man. 3-0. I know you're an upside glass half full guy, Craig, but 3-0 seems a little interesting.
Well, it's not just like I said, I don't think we're going to like totally batter Forest or we're going to completely outplay them in the game. I just think the way the game might pan out is, I don't think Forest are very good when they have to go forward and try and score a goal.
If we score first and they have to attack and we can expose them, we're in good shape.
Exactly.
If they score first, man, I don't know if this team have got the character to come back, if I'm being honest. That's why I want Reece James on the pitch.
I think it'll be a similar game to the Villa game that we played in terms of how the game pans out. And I know we lost that game 2-1.
Don't say that.
But in terms of the game, I think we'll play well like that. I do think that, you know, the game suits us a bit better. And I'm expecting us to play.
I find position myself that, you know, if we get Europa League, I think a month ago I was like, oh my God, if we get Europa League, it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be embarrassing. I've conditioned myself to the fact that, you know, we can make some money in the Club World Cup. I mean, if we get deep in that, you can. If you win it, you get £125 million. Probably if you get deep in it, you can make 30, 40, 50 million, which is like not a million mile off Champions League money, like first stage or whatever. So, monetary wise, we can make some money in the summer. I don't know. I really want Champions League football back.
I'm of the opinion that, yeah, obviously I'd love to play Champions League because I love going to the Champions League games, especially now they've got the new group set up where you get more group stage games. We'll play some top opponents at Stamford Bridge. It'll be a lot of fun. But I'm always of the opinion that, you know, if you're getting the Europa League, that's because you're a Europa League team. You know, that's how good you are. There's no...
You probably have to say, arguably, I don't know. But then again, I don't know. You see some of these teams and you think, we could beat them. Liverpool.
That is the most exciting thing about qualifying for the Champions League, yeah, is the fact that we'll probably be sort of eighth favourites to win it. And that is winnable, you know. So it's a cup competition at the end of the day. And you know, winning another European Cup would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
What was your prediction in the end, sorry?
I think the game will be, I don't know, 1-1.
1-1 we're going for from Brady. We got it out of you in the end.
I said it earlier.
And you would start Reece James. So who are you dropping? Sorry, I assume you want to play Neto up front.
Begrudgingly, yes.
So George is getting dropped from the team for Sancho.
He might just put George left wing. I think he'll start Sancho just to hold the ball. I think he'll obviously just play Nadeweke right wing.
You wouldn't play Lavia. Is that correct?
Well, you can't if he's not going to drop Enzo, is he? You can't if I'm going to play Reece James. I love you.
I think he might drop Enzo. I honestly think he will. I know that's like a little bit of a.
You're right. I don't really want to drop Lavia, but he did drop him after Newcastle, and obviously he was quite poor versus Newcastle. So I don't know. Maybe
the last question is Tosin versus Chalobah. That's the last one.
Probably versus Chris Wood. I put Tosin in there for the aerial stuff.
Yeah, I would start Tosin as well.
Yeah,
we didn't actually mention Tosin, but I thought he had a really good game as well.
I think they called him Uncle in the Chelsea team because he is like a bit of an uncle to the players. And you know, I watch a lot of the training videos, the 8-minute clips coming out every week. You see Tosin, you can just tell Tosin's one of the leaders. You know, like we've said before, I don't think he's an elite player by any means or top level player really. But he does a job and he's a very good squad player and they're useful. So.
Yeah, maybe he can pop up with a header from a corner on.
What I mean. And like with Chris Wood, obviously he's got like 20 league goals plus, I think, this year. And his main threat is aerial. So he's a lot better in the end, Chalobah. So that's what I put him in.
All right. Well, Chelsea head into the Champions League. You heard it here first on the European. All right. That's all we got time for today. Thanks very much, Brady.
No problem, man.
As always, we hope you're carefree, guys, wherever you may be. And thanks for listening.
I hope you're carefree wherever you may be. Thanks for listening.